Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here for our service today. Wish you the Lord's blessings on your day and on our worship. We have a great worship service planned for us today. And this morning, as we consider things that matter, consider God's presence and his visitation. It's something we don't think about as often, but something that's very, very important. And the scripture has a lot to share with us about the blessings that come through his presence and visitation. So we consider that this morning. We also welcome those who are tuned in on the radio today. Thanks for tuning into our service. Wish you the Lord's blessings as well. And those of us who are here, so glad you made it. It's a break from the hustle and bustle of the crazy life and a moment to sit with the Lord and be refreshed. So thanks for being here this morning. Our service begins this morning with hymn number 763 in your hymnal, When Peace Like a River. And we do invite on the last verse of that hymn for the congregation to please stand if you're able. We sing together hymn 763.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with our introit from Psalm 119 responsively this morning. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words.
I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise.
When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies.
I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments.
Fear the Lord is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We sing the Kyrie. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant us the Spirit to hear your word and know the one thing needful, that by your word and Spirit we may live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for today, this sixth Sunday after Pentecost, comes from Genesis in the 18th chapter. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds of milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our epistle lesson from the book of Colossians in the first chapter. You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If the congregation would please stand, if you're able, as we sing our Alleluia verse and have our Holy Gospel read. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you join us now in confessing our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing hymn 576, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less"? Let's sing. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, one of the things that we struggle with as Christians quite often, but we don't talk about very much, and we don't like talking about very much, is doubt. Doubt. And doubting God's word is a big, big problem. It's the source of the first rebellion and every rebellion since. And it happens when we take God's presence for granted. We have examples of this in both of our readings this morning from Genesis 18 and also from Luke chapter 10. Now, it's not Abraham, really, who seems to take the Lord's presence for granted. In fact, when the Lord arrives, he jumps up and runs, as the text says, and, you know, hollers out to Sarah, quickly, quickly make this bread, and then runs, right? He's kind of pumped up. But it seems a different story for Sarah. She doubts what God says. She overhears him from the doorway of the tent, as we heard read in the text, that she's going to have a son in her old age. And her response is that she laughs. And then she says in verse 12, "I am wore out and my Lord is old. Shall I have pleasure?" And then the Lord asks Abraham, as if it hurt him that she asked that. He says, "Why did Sarah say this?" And then he says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" I think that's a good question for us to consider this morning in whatever we're facing, because we're all facing something. Martha has Jesus in her home, and she's too busy-minded for him. Both take his divine presence for granted, Sarah and Martha. Therefore, both reveal their doubt, and we too have his divine presence with us this morning. A continual presence promised to us by faith, given to us in the water of baptism. A presence that the world around us doesn't agree with. The world around us doubts, and especially here this morning, where he's present in a special way. But the world hears about this, and what do? They laugh. They ridicule. We invite people to church, at least I hope that you do, I know you do, and they scoff. Sometimes. They say things like, "Why would I want that?" The world takes God's presence for granted, each and every moment of the day as well. For he created and sustains all things and gives all living creatures and all people their life. But they just use it and use it and use it and use it some more. The world doubts and is offended by God's presence and his promises. And while we as Christians go on believing our faith, even amidst all of this, still even ourselves battle constantly against the influence of this world and the way it affects us. It's powerful even within our hearts and minds. I pray that God's real presence here among us this morning renders it powerless, even if it's just for some moments here. So I ask, are you in need? Do you sit here this morning hoping that God will help you with something? Hoping that his presence today will somehow benefit you? We all need something. What is it for you? And this, in this need, we feel acutely the struggle against the world, the devil, and our sinful flesh. Because somewhere in our heart, we still doubt that he's going to help. That he will come to our aid. And at some level, we even find it at times laughable when we hear that he's come to visit us today and really help us, you know? We hear it all the time. I pray, but he didn't fix it. Here's what we miss. We doubt his help because we doubt his presence. He was truly there with Abraham and Sarah and with Mary and Martha and Bethany. And at the heart of Luke 10 and Genesis 18 is a true divine visitation. That's what's going on in the text. And with his visit, always comes his help and his aid and his promises for his people and for us today too. His real presence, his real visit, his real help with whatever you need. You feel it inside yourself. It's there, fighting against our faith, the doubt. See, God tells Abraham and Sarah in verse 14 this important phrase. He says, at the appointed time, I will return to you and Sarah will have a son. At the appointed time, then God's help for them will come into being according to his word. It's waiting that's the hard part. And that's often God's answers to our prayer, isn't it? He says, yes, my child, but wait. We don't like waiting. We don't like it even one little bit. But see how it keeps us focused always on him. He's not a vending machine that we can manipulate with coins and numbers. He's not just there to feed us what we want every moment that we want it. He's real. He's alive. He's a man in Jesus Christ. And so we can't manipulate him. And sometimes he asks us to wait. If you're suffering this morning, if you're in need of help, help is yours. The answer is yes. He said to them, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Is there anything that's too hard for the Lord? A question, again, that's good for us to consider. He says to us, we will be healed. If we're having relationship problems, it will be repaired perfectly. If you're having financial problems, those too will be straightened out. Are you fighting against anger, against lust, against addiction or depression, a need for control, or maybe you're grieving? All these will be corrected. Your loved ones will rise again. Whatever causes us pain and sorrow, whatever we seek the Lord's help with, see this morning that he has visited you. He's here, according to his own promise. And that's a really, 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 really huge deal. Hear his promise in his visitation today. He says, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Yet we can steal. Even in the hearing of that promise, feel the doubt that's warring against us. And the laughing within our sinful flesh. But our eyes of flesh deceive us, friends. We pray the Lord to help us walk by faith and not by sight. Would you think Martha's busyness or Sarah's scoffing could short-circuit God's help for them? No way. And neither do those elemental thoughts of doubt in our hearts. No amount of laughing or scoffing, no amount of busyness can short-circuit what Jesus has done for us. As the scripture says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. His cross was for you. His resurrection was for you. And today is your visitation. Don't doubt it. Don't laugh at the promise. Today he comes to us, not at Bethany, not at the Oaks of Mamre, but here, the Holy God of all creation, according to his promise, has entered our tent in the San Luis Valley at 52 El Rio Drive. According to his own words, he's with us. That's a really big deal. His continual presence is real, but today in word and sacrament, a special visitation. And like Abraham and Sarah, there's a meal. Fulfills the 23rd Psalm. A table in the presence of our enemies. Those friends of the world that continually doubt and laugh at his visitation. Like Mary, we sit attentive. Listening. But like Martha too, there's so much going on up in our minds, so much busyness that it'll barely quiet for a moment. Hear the lesson. The better portion is always to pay close attention to Jesus' word and promise. And like Sarah, in our hearts, we wonder how it can be that his visitation today can make a difference in our real life problems that we're facing. Trust his visitation. Trust his word. He says to you and me, like he said to them, I will return at the appointed time, and I will help, I will heal, I will save you out of all your troubles, like he did with Mary and Martha. When he returned, he came back, and what did he do? He rose, resurrected Lazarus from the dead. So like Jesus tells Thomas in his doubt after the resurrection, he says, don't be disbelieving, but believe. Where Jesus is, there is God's salvation for his people. The end of all things. It's not just a dot on a timeline in our minds. Jesus says it clearly in the scripture. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last, he says, and I am the beginning and the end. Wherever Christ is, all things are complete. All things are fulfilled. He died for us, and he's risen again, and he's ascended into the heavens, and he chose, nobody chose for him, he chose to come today to bring you his blessings. He's appointed this time. Or why else would he be here? But that he loves you, and he loves me, and he hears what we need. So if we're waiting, we may have to wait. But don't wait without hope. Don't wait in doubt. Sarah did give birth. Lazarus was raised. His promises are always true. And you and I too will see the day. Thus saith the Lord God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, when whatever troubles you, he himself will take away and it will be gone. He told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Doubting God's word is a result of taking his presence for granted, and it's a huge problem. But he's come to help. To restore us at his appointed time. And the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Trust his promise to you. Trust his visitation. As Isaiah told us in his prophecy, those who wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. I know you're weary in whatever you're waiting for. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. No matter what we're in need of, we have his help. Learn from Sarah and Martha. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. For he loves you. Don't doubt it. And now we love him, but it's because he first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time of our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayer this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Everlasting God, who are we that you would come to visit us in word and sacrament by your Holy Spirit? Who are we that things long hidden are revealed in the glory of Christ in the Scriptures? Lord, but bring us and all the saints through the changes and chances of this mortal life, that we may be presented to Christ as those for whom he's made holy and righteous and fit for eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you made the Apostle Paul a minister of your word. Abide with all pastors and those studying to be pastors, with all deacons and deaconesses, with missionaries and translators, and with teachers, and all who bring your word to your people, Lord, and those who are working behind the scenes. Oh God, you know there's so many who put their heart and soul into our school, into the ministry, into the services on Sunday. Lord, bless their labors that they may be fruitful and their hearts faithful. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious Lord, your Son endured the cross for our sakes and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God in power. Lord, be with the young people of the LCMS as they gather in New Orleans this week. Lord, fix their eyes on Jesus. Strengthen them with hope and confidence to endure all trials and challenges as his disciples. Lord, bless those who work and serve them, especially their parents and all the volunteers in New Orleans. Give them a safe homecoming, Lord. And Lord, upon their return, Lord, when they've been blessed to see all the faith that you pour out in those conferences, and they bring it back, Lord, we pray that you'd protect it, that it wouldn't get zapped by the world. Strengthen each one of our young people, that upon their return, they may fill our homes with forgiveness and love, and proclaim Jesus' name. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we live in a land of great abundance, and we carry great responsibility for the good of this nation. So we pray that you'd bless all who judge and administer our laws, that you'd guide our leaders to know your ways, and to follow them for the good of all people. Lord, in your mercy.
You're right.
Compassionate Father, in your mercy you behold all people in their needs. And by your grace you supply all that we need for this body and life and for everlasting life. Lord, hear us on behalf of the sick and those who suffer, the grieving and the dying. Lord, we name before you from the altar this morning the family and friends of Peyton Sanchez, Letha and Tom Hershey, Helen Almdale, Brandon Jones, Lauren Ohawe, the Yahtzee family, Larry Wilcox, Jeff Autopolic, Gail Nelson, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Sandy Cody, Larry Reinbarger, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Father, help those that we've brought to you on our hearts and in the words from the altar to rejoice in you, even in the waiting. Lord, give healing and grace according to your will until you deliver your people to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. Lord, one thing is necessary. Out of great mercy, you set that good portion before us in the Blessed Sacrament. Help us to treasure this precious gift above all earthly things, and grant that we may never have it taken from us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you have forgiven our sins and delivered us from death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to pour out your mercy upon us. Grant to us all good things needful for this body and life, and keep us from all things that would harm us. From you, through you, and to you are all things. O Lord, Holy Father, mighty God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. We invite you to turn over to hymn 933 in your hymnal. As our offerings are collected and presented this morning, we sing together, My Soul Rejoices. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessing throughout your week. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 8 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption that you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.